fire and brimstone from Kevin Stefanski, getting you ready for Thursday night football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's like George C. Scott and Patton. Get on out there, boys.
You know, we posted a video yesterday where I said I couldn't believe the way Kevin sounded, and people were like, no, he sounds like that after every game. And I said, no, that's the point. This isn't every game anymore. That's not the state of affairs with the Browns. And if he feels this way now and he's still even keeled, like, is he doing the things necessary behind the scenes to kind of take control of what is a worsening situation?
Who knows? Let's get to John Greco, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, good morning to you. First question. Do you think Jameis Winston would make a good bridge quarterback? Lima disagrees with me. He thinks that his pregame speeches would become laborious for his teammates, even though somebody just sent us a video of Jameis Winston getting a literal receiving line from his former teammates in New Orleans.
Good morning, guys. Do I think Jameis would be a good bridge quarterback? I do. You know what you're going to get with him. He's going to be able to complete passes, challenge defenders down the field, you know, convert a lot of yards in the passing game, be able to, you know, create a little bit with his legs. And does he have a history of, you know, turning the ball over a little bit? Sure. But I think that there is no secret that the Browns offense looks different with him under center. As far as the pregame stuff, the locker room speeches, you know, the way he was received by former teammates. I mean, he was there for a long time. He won a lot of games in New Orleans. And, you know, quite frankly, guys love him. He's a great teammate. So everyone that I've ever known that has played with him, whether at Florida State or in the NFL, they love the guy. You know, we sometimes kind of chuckle and laugh at some of his, you know, pre-game remarks or media hits, but you know, I think it's genuine. I think he's just a unique guy, and the way he delivers his message is unique and colorful, and he's a big time character. And quite frankly, I think if you get the right guy at QB1 with him kind of in the room, being a resource, being a guy that's played a lot of snaps, that sees defenses a different way, that's separate from a coaching lens, I think it's beneficial. And I think, you know, if the Browns had him around, he'd be able to kind of, and they're competitive. If he's able to come in, I think he can help you win a game if something happens to your first string quarterback.
I guess, John, I just feel like if your quarterback room next year is Jameis and Deshaun Watson, I think a lot of fans are going to be out on that before the season even starts. There's not a lot of intrigue there. You know, at least like the Broncos decided to move on from the bridge quarterback to go with a guy that everybody was saying was very limited in Bo Nix. And I feel like their fans feel a lot more invested into what they're doing right now.
Who was the bridge? Are you saying Russell Wilson?
I don't think
Russell was the bridge.
Well, whatever it was, they could have chosen a Jameis Winston.
Well, they could have, yeah.
They decided to go with the Bo Nix. Okay. I'd rather go that route. Even if you're telling me all these rookie quarterbacks have limitations, I know what Jameis's limitations are. I know that over time, that's going to be a 500 to below quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, but then we're talking about, you know, completely ripping the Band-Aid off, going with a young quarterback, and just kind of saying, okay, we're bringing in yet another veteran quarterback, because I think having a veteran quarterback in the room is very important. And whoever's going to be coaching the Browns and calling plays and developing a hypothetical young quarterback next year, I think it's important to have veteran guys that have won games, that know what they're doing, and can help read defenses to assist a young quarterback. I think that's very important. So whoever that is, I mean, last year was Joe Flacco. You know, he moved on. You bring Jameis in. So every team has these guys that are these veteran presence in the locker room. And you know, are any of them able to go out and win 8 games? No. It's more of a patchwork thing, to where if you're a team that's, you know, competitive and going for a playoff, making a playoff run, and you have a quarterback that tweaks his hamstring or rolls an ankle and is out for 3 or 4 games, can you know, get you through those games at 500. That way it doesn't completely derail your season. So when your starter comes back, you're in a position to continue to win. That, in my opinion, is what a great backup quarterback does. I don't expect these guys to come in and light it up and go undefeated. If they did, they'd probably be starting on a different team. So no matter who they have next year, if we want to say, yeah, let's develop a young quarterback, and then you're starting to say, okay, well, then you're going to have another year of, well, we have to develop this guy, and then in year two, does he make a big jump? Okay, well, you know, we need to see progress. Year three, you know, that's where we're at. That's when we really make our mark. I think Browns fans, rightfully so, have become so impatient because of everything that's going on. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think having a quote-unquote bridge guy to either where you're throwing a young rookie quarterback in there week one. I mean, we've seen what has happened with the Panthers, with Chicago now, with some of these teams. And then you have teams like Denver that you mentioned, obviously Washington, that's had instant success. So I think it all depends on, you know, who's calling plays, what the skill level looks around this guy, and how good the defense is, how great the culture is in the locker room to depend on his success.
John Greco joining us on the show. So Lyman and I said, you know, if they go out there and they get hammered, well, I had said it to him. I go, if they go out there and they get hammered on Thursday, maybe they would actually consider change. I don't think it's very likely, but I think maybe they would. I mean, you got a lot of fans there that are probably going to be wearing black and yellow. It's not going to be a fun atmosphere. And there were a couple of people go, why are we waiting? Why are we waiting? You saw what happened on Sunday. Why would you even wait? And I go, well, it's a four-day week. And I went, you know what? I'm going to ask John. John's the former player. John would know better. Why wouldn't you make changes going into an early week on a Thursday night?
Why would you not make changes going into a quick week?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, they were off yesterday, right? And you essentially have 2 days of prep, of game prep, to go into a division opponent coming into your house, and you're trying to play spoiler. If you make a big sweeping change, everyone's going to talk about it. It's a huge distraction that if that's the plan, you just have to wait a couple more days, if that's the plan. I just never like to see it. I've been on teams where the coach has been fired in the year, and it sucks. I mean, it's a kind of a sobering reminder of, hey, this thing, I mean, we've been playing like crap. Everybody's involved. Everybody's responsible. And, you know, there's an obvious lightning rod that has to take the hit and take the fall. So on short weeks, you know, it's hard enough to prepare for those things, get your guys that are dinged up healthy enough, whatever that means, 70%, 80% to get ready to go on Thursday. But if you're talking about making a big sweeping change, everyone's got to talk about it to the media. It becomes a big distraction. The new guy comes in and it's well, you know, let's try to throw everything together and put the best looking product that we can out there on Thursday. But I think if that's the plan, I mean, why not just wait a few more days and make that decision? So that's where I'm at with that, especially on a short week.
John Greco with us on the hotline right now. So I ask you, John, because the Jed Will situation has been a roller coaster in recent weeks. We know he got a chance to defend himself, and he kind of made matters worse when he talked to reporters, and then was, what, a late scratch at the end of last week, so didn't even play, but now DeJuan Jones is out for the year again with another injury. So what do you make of the whole Jed Wills situation?
It's very messy, Anthony, and we talked about it on your show. You know, he did get a chance to defend himself, and I think maybe if he could take back just the way he delivered, you know, his explanation of why he wanted to sit out, I think he would. And Kevin Stefanski, you know, kind of did the right thing and said, well, you know, Jed just doesn't feel 100%. You know, he's injured. You know, he doesn't want to put the team at risk. And I've said that before, where if you don't feel like you are your best player, everybody's dinged. Everybody's banged up at this point. But if you're going to go out there and be a liability to where you're out there playing 30-40% and you can, you know, run the risk of getting someone else hurt, then it's probably the right decision. But the way it was delivered was wrong. And I think everybody can agree on that. But it's a sticky situation now. Obviously, you lose a guy that's been playing two different positions in DeJuan Jones, left and right tackle. He's out for an extended period of time. You know, you're going to have to get him back healthy, and he's a big man. So, you know, supporting that weight on a fractured ankle, it's going to take a lot. to get him back to 100% healthy. But I don't know where they go from here. Obviously, if Jed wasn't healthy enough to start, and if he wasn't healthy enough to where he was being healthy scratched, I mean, what kind of message does it send if you're just saying, hey, let's get the guy back in there now? What's his mindset going to be? What's his attitude going to be? I don't know. At this point, I don't see how they can make that decision or make that move. Now, it's a short week. You know, do you have the guys on the roster that you can kind of plug and play and get people ready to play in a short amount of time? I don't know. We'll see what they do when they go out to practice today. But the whole situation is just so ugly and so murky right now because of the way that he approached the media during the bye week and all of the things we talked about. Now with an injury, it was kind of the worst case scenario, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
John, you're glorious. We thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend. All the best.
Guys, can't wait. I'll be keeping my eyes open for that Christmas card, Ken.
See, he appreciates it, Tone. That's what friendship is about. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
You have a lot of friends.
The Cavs aren't just fighting for a win. They're fighting for respect. That coming up at 9 o'clock. 216-474-0092. We had Dan Shaughnessy on earlier from the Boston Globe. Big game tonight as your Cleveland Cavaliers get ready to take on the Boston Celtics. They are playing for Cavs Frogs life. Even though if they finish 15-1 or if they start 15-1 or 16-1.
They don't euthanize the frog?
I don't think the frog should go away. The frog should stay in some capacity. Somebody
but people are having fun with it. There's no doubt.
Somebody Cleveland is very good. I'm sure a lot of cities have their downtown characters. I just don't hear about them. Cleveland's very good at downtown characters. Whether it be Creepy Mall Guy or Beer Guy or Rest in Peace, Sax Man.
Saxophone Guy, yeah.
Super Pimp. We have this cavalcade of downtown characters. The guy under the bridge who sings about the Cavs because they're doing well as Browns fans walk back from the latest loss. What's his name?
Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, okay. Well done. We have a very nice array of them. Now, I don't know if Cavs Frog has gone into that realm yet. I mean, we're talking about the heavy hitters right there.
Well, it's been a two-week explosion here.
Yes. This has been a great start with Cavs Frog, which there are some pieces out tonight for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unfortunately, there's Dean Wade. He will be out tonight with an ankle injury. He was in a walking boot. They said it was precautionary after the Cavs went on Sunday against Charlotte. However, there is also questionable Caris LeVert tonight for your Cleveland Cavaliers, and Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade is out with a left ankle, Isaac Okoro is out with a left ankle, Caris LeVert is out with a left knee.
Okoro, questionable.
Excuse me.
Caris LeVert, questionable.
Dean Wade is out. Okoro and LeVert, questionable. It says it right there in all caps. I was in too big of a hurry.
Obviously, that's not optimal, and they don't have Porzingis. They will have Holiday, who missed the last game.
I apologize.
So, overall, it's not like we don't have enough talent to win this game. We certainly do, but it's going to be life is going to be made a lot tougher. Like you're probably going to have to need Boston to have an off shooting night too. Mm-hmm. You're 4.5-point dogs. So were you a little surprised by that, given how the Cavs are the talk of the league and they've been dominant? I know their defense over the last week and a half hasn't exactly been locked down, but they haven't needed to because their offense, just every game, it's somebody different.
Yeah, it's
but were you surprised to see that number where it was?
Yes.
Have an undefeated team this far into the year be an underdog.
Yes. Well, because you're playing a Boston team and honestly, I don't know where a lot of people think these teams in the NBA stand right now. If you were looking at the teams right now, just based on what you've seen, which I think a lot of people have probably just started off the season watching the Cavs, still a lot of football to be watched, college football during the week, which by the way, Wagon Wheel tonight.
That's tonight.
I know people are locked in.
Well, I don't know where I'm going to go then.
Hey, Kent State's still looking for win number one.
If they lose by multiple touchdowns, that whole Josh Cribbs to Kent State thing needs to pick up steam.
I believe it already has.
If Kent State loses by multiple touchdowns to Akron, my zips, I will fully support Josh Cribbs to Kent State University. And that is not some secret, like, ooh, I want to. They're 0-1 whatever they are, guys. I just want them to be. I want either team to be good. I'd like them both to be good. We're in Northeast Ohio. Football teams in Northeast Ohio should be good. All right, back to the Cavs real quick. If you were to go by just, I think a lot of people have watched the Cavs and the teams they've played, and then they're looking at records. Oklahoma City, would you put in as a contender?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Golden State at 10-3 contender?
Yeah, I didn't think so. So I'm not ready to go there yet, but they've been staggeringly good, except for when they got blown out by the Cavs.
Phoenix Suns have lost a week in a row. Do you hold the Phoenix Suns as a contender?
Not really.
Lakers, Rockets, I say no.
No.
Denver.
I'm still thinking they are.
So you got three teams really in the West, unless you believe wholeheartedly in the Grizz, Timberwolves, no. Clippers, or Kings. Okay.
T-Wolves are interesting.
They're interesting, but do you consider them a contender?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were a contender last year.
All right, that's four. Throw them in there.
What about the Mavericks?
Mavericks?
Yeah, Mavericks
that's
are...
five. All right, hell, here we are.
And they've been terrible this year. 7-7.
Cavaliers, Celtics.
Yeah.
Knicks.
Those are your contenders. No, right now.
Oh, that's
right
the only ones in the East.
That's the only ones
in the East. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the Knicks, we haven't seen.
76ers are 2-11. I know. Holy potatoes.
Oh, they're probably going to have to fire their coach.
They are going to fire Nick Nurse.
Joel Embiid just played his third game of the year.
Jameis Embiid.
Third game. And he was not good yesterday against the Miami Heat.
And now he'll take a week off.
He may need a change. That fella might need a change of scenery. It seems that things are not going well. Shoving people around, shoving photographers and people around, which part of it is maybe a little bit understandable, but that is not very good. Very rough. Anyway, there's not a lot of contenders in the East. And it almost feels to me like watching the Cavs, and again, like I've only seen one Oklahoma City Thunder game. I have seen two Golden State Warriors games. I've seen two Lakers games. I hate to admit this, and I fight for little guys. I have not watched a single Denver Nuggets game so far this year. It feels like, man, if you got past Boston this year, it's like you might want to start planning a parade, which is pretty out there, I understand.
Especially considering where we were on the Cavs at the end of last year. I mean, they almost lost to the Magic.
It seems like if you were to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and you were to find a way to get past Boston, you might as well start to put your stanchions out there, and hopefully it would be a little bit more organized than what it was last time, and it wouldn't be just the Sea of Humanity, even though the Sea of Humanity was a lot of fun. So there is a definite possibility, but you're battling for respect. More on that coming up at 9 o'clock. I think I know. I wanted to bring up the Nick Chubb thing here, but I kind of want to go back to what you and I were talking about with John Greco. I mean, you said, like, the speeches, they grate on you, and I'm thinking about you. You're a cynical person. Now, I'm not taking shots at you. It's going to sound like I am. You haven't played team sports since you were a freshman in high school. You know, I see this video of a receiving line of people from New Orleans who want to you know, be friends with him, shake hands with him after a football game. Listen, I'm not going to pretend to say that you're going to get an uptick in season tickets if Jameis Winston was your bridge quarterback. That's not it. But I think that's why you're saying the statements you're saying. I think you do not want to be. This is listless, wasteful football in so many terms. And Jameis Winston, I think, to you, tells you that there's going to be listless, pointless football until they actually go. You want it to mean something. Like, if you get a quarterback in the first round, it's going to mean something. Like, it's like, all right, we're either going to take our lumps or we're going to surprise some people.
Well, by definition,
but at least it's going to mean something. There's going to be some try to move forward.
Yeah, even look at New England. New England and Drake May, who is showing more and more promise every single game, even though they had a bad loss this past weekend. But nobody cares because their quarterback, is the potential. The hope is there.
Yeah.
With Jameis and Deshaun, there's zero hope. There's zero hope that you are building to anything down the road, and your players will be a year older next year. Your old team is getting older next year.
I've said the same thing, and this is why I told you, and you've agreed. It's not like we've had a big long discussion. Unless you get the number one overall pick, where you have to think about Travis Hunter. Mm-hmm. If you end up at number two, and again, you might be 2-15. If you get to 2-15 and you end up with number one or number two, or say you get to 3-14, and you end up with number two, I think you're taking a quarterback. And yet you could say, no, Kenny, well, you probably haven't watched a whole lot of college football. Well, I keep hearing that this class isn't that good. Like, Daryl and I got into it last Friday. I go, Daryl, well, you got to watch it too. I mean, we have you on as a guest. It isn't just Daryl in West Park. This is Daryl Ryder, the Browns beat reporter. We have you on as a guest. Like, you're going to have to come up with an opinion here because it's going to happen. Because they're not going to be able to sell people on the idea of Jameis and Deshaun. you might sell people on the idea of Jameis, quarterback X, Deshaun somewhere in the stratosphere, and then that's it. We haven't even spoken about DTR yet, but I really don't hold out a ton of hope right now. I think that if they lose on Thursday, we probably will see DTR sooner than later, just to see what it is. But I'm looking at guys who can, A, start the season, so I don't have to start the season with rookie quarterback X, who are we told it is not in the great draft class, or B, can at least hold the fort down in case, say you do get the number one overall pick. All right, well, am I going to turn down a talent like Travis Hunter when I do think that he might be a better overall football player than Ward, Sanders, Milroe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I can't. I think that he's that good of a player. So these are decisions that you have to make. If you end up with a number one overall pick, Jameis might be the bridge for you.
Well, I just think right now, fans, because we've been in the quarterback abyss for so long, they're being very, very selective on who a rookie would be. And I think that's a big mistake only because, just because you're being told that these quarterbacks in other years would be second-round picks. Second-round picks sometimes end up being really good quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's no problem.
Let's not just dismiss, just because they're not Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck, right, coming out. That's what everybody wants to hear. Caleb Williams, where
Trevor
he was
Lawrence
coming out.
Trevor Lawrence hadn't been the Trevor Lawrence you were going to get when he coming out.
But the status of those guys, the Browns fans only want to take a quarterback if they're heralded like that.
Yes.
When they're coming
That's
out,
fair.
Which is
That's
unimpeachable
fair.
Prospects, which, as we're learning, is silly because Trevor Lawrence, as unimpeachable a prospect as he was,
has been peachable.
Has just been a run-of-the-mill quarterback. Andrew Luck was good. He was certainly a really good quarterback and seemed like he was on his way, but he also wasn't perfect. He wasn't a perfect NFL quarterback. So I think right now fans, because they've just not had that guy and they're rebounding from so many misses over the years in the draft, they're just assuming whoever we take in the draft, because they're being told it's not a good draft, is going to be a bust. And that's just not really how NFL scouting works with quarterbacks.
It's not, but what I heard you say,
Brock Purdy was the last player taken in the draft.
And you are right, but when I hear you say, and he got taken to a really good scenario there, a situation. But remember, that team also took Trey Lance, number three overall. And when you said Trey Lance, I'm like, wait a minute, are we just wanting to see something different so we have something to be interested in? Or are we making the best strides to being a better football team? Because Trey Lance does not compute that at all. Like Jameis Winston, I will take Jameis Winston the 1,000 days out of 1,000 days over Trey Lance.
The Steelers took, but in
I would much rather give Deshaun Watson another chance
here's
than going
the thing
out
about
and getting
40,
Trey
Lance. Here's where I would fight you back on that. The 49ers, because they took Trey Lance, they were able to then pivot and say, this is so bad and he's not ready, we have to move on. Had they have had Jameis, they might not have moved on and been like, okay, and then he would have capped their ceiling. Like, they had to keep moving. And that's what the Steelers did with Kenny Pickett. They drafted Kenny Pickett, which was a reach out of desperation.
Well, remember,
and then what did they do? They moved on from him.
But that's
they
not,
didn't stick with him like they might have with a Jameis Winston.
That's not true. They had Jimmy Garoppolo start that season. And he played for a long time in that season.
Yeah, but they moved on from Trey Lance.
They eventually
moved
on.
They did not stick with a bridge.
But they didn't,
and Garoppolo's contract was also part of that.
Well, I mean, wouldn't Jameis' contract be a part of that?
No,
I mean,
he's a one-year rental.
Yeah, but if you had him for another year as a rental, you could move on from him.
Yeah, you can.
If you knew that the quarterback that you take
but you've also
is going to be ready.
You've also guaranteed to delay the finding the quarterback a year. You've already guaranteed that. Like, you're not guaranteed. When you take a rookie quarterback, it doesn't guarantee that. I mean, the hope is that that rookie quarterback might be good enough, might actually blossom into something.
Yeah, but I don't have to start the season with him. I could start Jameis with the season if I wanted to.
Oh, so you're saying
I'm not saying to not take a quarterback.
You're saying draft a rookie, have Deshaun Watson, have Jameis Winston.
I don't know what I have to do with Deshaun Watson, but I guess I'm stuck with him, aren't I? So I guess I got to figure that out, don't I?
Yeah, in that scenario, I would have no problem. I thought what you were talking about all along was, hey, your quarterback room starts next year, and it's just Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson, and that I'm totally out on.
I don't think it's going to go that way. We welcome in Zach Jackson from The Athletic, who, it's November 19th, but it certainly feels like Christmas, or it feels like December in Berea, does it not?
It's one of the great days of the year when Kent State and Akron get together.
You're the worst. You're the best, but you're also the worst.
Akron has as many wins as the Browns here on November 19th, 2024. Kent State, a week from tonight, will become the first team to go winless in major college football in a non-COVID year since Akron in 2019. Should I keep going, or do you want to talk about the Browns?
Wagon wheel preview here.
The 6 degrees of Rob Ionello are fantastic.
Zach, I mean, unbelievable.
Rob Iannello once gathered his team the week before the season finale and said, listen, I know everybody is talking about Ohio State, Michigan this week, but the fact is this is the biggest game in the country because we're 0-10 and Buffalo's 0-10 and somebody's going home winless. This is a real thing that happened.
Oh, it's a shame that didn't work out. Anyway, it's a shame this isn't working out right now. Zach, how prudent would it be? Like, no, I'm not just – are they just taking a quarterback next year in the draft or we just got to get used to that idea and pick whoever?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get used to the idea, the gonna-drive discussion. Is it probably something you should do? Yes. But, I mean, are we anywhere close to that? No. And Ken, like, it doesn't make for great radio. It doesn't make for great arguments when you see your buddies on Thanksgiving next week, right? But there are so many layers to this that have failed, that are failing, that are uncertain. And until you decide who's making the picks, which direction you're going to go, how much more dead money you're going to tack on, and where you really think you can be, specifically starting with that quarterback, which you declared was the most important position and probably is, you can't even get near that decision right now. You just can't. So, is there going to be a lot of talk about it? Is that probably what you should do? Right. Yes. But there's just so much that has to go on before that, before you decide any of that. Who's your bridge quarterback? Who do you like? Who can you get? Where are you going to be? You accidentally win a couple of these games down the stretch here. That changes that, right? So do you really like these guys? And then the big thing is, you know, who's a Kevin Stefanski quarterback? And so is that your coach? So I keep going, but there's just so many layers to that decision that there's just no answer to it right now.
Do you think the problem is more the talent acquired, or is it the coaching the talent that has been acquired?
Oh, I think a lot's gone wrong, but I think it's the construction of the team. More so because, well, it starts with what looks like the worst trade in NFL history, and then it's trickled down. I mean, you had to act like he was suddenly going to start playing well. You had to go for it now, given the age and the money, and they just poured it on. So, this team doesn't stink because of the kicker, but it's like a symptom, you know? The tackling is just embarrassing. And so it's like, should they have done something in training camp? Well, they don't need a blood and guts training camp, but like they didn't have a training camp period. So this is just all kind of snowballed. And that's what's weird about it and makes it harder to even talk about, right? What you guys have to do for hours every day is this season has been over since September. There's still 7 games left. It's just this slow crawl on these different layers before they even get to the layers of how they're going to try to go forward.
Zach, you mentioned the bridge quarterback thing. It's something we've been debating here. I said if next season it's Deshaun Watson and Jameis as the quarterback room, I said I think Browns fans will be out.
They would tap out
before September. Ken made a case that Jameis is very lovable and obviously competent. You saw what kind of a heater he was on this week, and he has those games still in his arsenal. So.
I didn't say fans would be all thrilled about it. Yeah, I didn't say they'd be enthused.
What do you think, Zach?
Well, I think it's going to depend on the coach and what they think of Jameis. And then, you know, it might depend. This could be Jameis' last start, right? Because they could just say, we're going to play for the top pick. We have 10 days to get ready for the game. I don't know that that's going to happen, and I kind of think that that's doubtful to happen, but it could be. So then it's like, okay, do you think you're getting a good Jameis and he can keep you competent next year if everything clicks around him? But again, it's what does the guy picking the players, whomever that's going to be, think? And what does the coach think? And how are you going to build this thing for the future? So, you know, people who collect sound clips and the social media team wants Jameis. But I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we're back to the league just not having enough quarterbacks, right? And we've seen that Jameis can play and he can produce at times. And really... You know, if he does play well, and you go back to the last time you had a real chance, even though it was 3 years ago, like maybe he could still be something. But, you know, what GM and or coach are going to put their jobs on it or really think that he can push that team to the next level, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a safe bet, but if you look at the other guys in the category that you're eventually going to be shopping in there, maybe you do got to hug the ones you're already with.
Zach Jackson joining us here in the show. Nick Chubb, he said he was like, Kevin said he was like holding him back for Thursday. Yeah. Your responses to that?
Well, they've always kind of done that, and I think it's obvious that Nick has been on kind of a pitch count. So I haven't gone back and watched the game yet. It was noticeable being there that he was out for a long period of time. Now, some of that was the end of the half in a straight sprint situation where Ford would probably play in that role anyway. So I really don't know. But, look, you know, they just weren't ever getting a healthy Nick Chubb this year, and anybody who fooled themselves into thinking that was wrong. And that's the complication, is he doesn't have a contract and we don't know. Only he and the doctors know, you know, where he is. So what they did around him is the problem. They built the worst running back room in the league. They signed Nyheim Hines and he never got on the field. And they signed Foreman and he was just what he's always been, which is just a guy who's played three or four games every place and then fallen out of the rotation. It just happened last year. It's happened again. Right? So they should have been drafting one. They should have been looking elsewhere. And an all-in season, they should have been spending on a running back, and they didn't. I mean, Jerome Ford is a number two running back. That's what he is. That was established last year. It's right in front of our faces this year. And it's just, you know, I don't know. So I think you'll get 15 carries and maybe 18 if the game script goes your way and the weather's as bad as they say it is Thursday. But, no, you're just never going to see the best version of Nick Chubb this year. And are you ever going to see a great version again? I don't know.
We didn't hear Myles Garrett's name the entire broadcast, and you were watching that game in person. I'm sure you were monitoring, and I want to be fair to him. It looked like he was a little banged up earlier in the game, but is that someone that the Browns might need to be a little worried about? Because if they lose the buy-in from him, there are going to be a lot of questions going into next year.
Well, it was concerning because, you know, he had the bye week and he said he was much healthier. It would have made sense, and he just had that big game, you know. So, in general, the Saints' offensive line just mauled the Browns. But, yeah, I mean, guys, there's going to be a lot of discussion about what to do with Myles Garrett and, you know, should you move on from him as he turns 29 here in about 5 weeks and is under contract for 2 years. And you know that next year you probably can't put out a winning product. So, yeah, it was a disappointing game from him. You expect better. I think we often wander into the territory of why doesn't he have three sacks every game? He just doesn't do that. But should Myles Garrett always be better than he was? And that's kind of the thing. This season has been over for going on 2 months. But you would have expected in a bad Saints team, Browns off of bye, you would have expected, especially from the defense, a much better effort. Instead, the two quarterbacks just picked them apart, and guys were wide, wide, wide open all day. And, you know, just it's not good. There's not. I mean, what other than the receivers finally looking like NFL caliber players is encouraging about this team right now?
Well, were we wrong to be that enthused? Or in some circles, people were saying Browns, one of the most talented teams in the NFL. How does it go from there at the start of the year to right now going, man, it seems like they have 10 positions they need to fill by next year?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think what they did last December, it was like, okay, it validated that they have the talent, right? It validated that they have the guys because they lost so many of them and guys stepped up and delivered. But I think what's happened this year is, you know, you've seen Myles be Myles, who's still kind of in a league of his own, but it has not been his own galaxy. You saw Amari Cooper last year play at extremely high level, give you absolutely nothing this year. You saw the other receivers give you less than zero until the quarterback change was forced in week 8, right? Last year, David Njoku was a top 4 tight end, you know? It just goes on and on and on. So Denzel Ward's having a great year. and JOK was having a great year. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys with big contracts on this team that are just not having the same year. Yeah. And the talent is a problem because age is a problem and underproduction is a problem and the lack of a pipeline is a problem.
We're dancing around it here. I mean, we haven't mentioned, I don't think we've mentioned Andrew Berry's name much. Other than continuity, is there any reason to bring him back? Because it makes, I mean, you're making it sound without making it sound like there's just no viable option there.
No, I mean, we've said it before, right? It's out there. Like, there's no way you could justify him making the the important picks that are going to need to be made. There's just no way. And, like, it would be different if this was year three, Ken, right? Or it mm-hmm. would be different if there was – this was a lightning strike year and the quarterback was okay and then got hurt and one other guy, like, underperformed. But this was the all-in year. This was year five. And everybody makes mistakes, and this is hard, hard league. It's hard to do this, right? But so many things have come to the forefront. And when you just look at Mike Hall's situation – and Zach Zinter's situation, and Quentin Jefferson's no longer on the team, right? And all just this whole thing where they just pushed in and said, we're going to keep this core together. We're here. Here's our team. And here's their team. They're 2-8, right? So, yeah, I think that's probably inevitable. But, again, we don't know who the owners are listening to inside or outside the building. And, frankly, like, I laughed about this when I was recording my own podcast last night. If you're one of these guys, if you're Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, or Kevin Stefanski, and they sit you down and say, we have one simple question to start. How do we get this fixed? How do you even answer that? Like, I don't know. And I cover this team every day, and you guys talk about them for hours every day. Like, how do you even begin to answer that? So, you know, who the owners trust and believe in and who they're asking about where they actually are is a big thing that we're just not going to have an answer to, at least not for a few more weeks. I mean, it's probably safe to say it's headed for the front office side one way in January, but man, it's only November 19th. So I don't know.
Zach, thank you very much for the time. You've certainly painted a sunny picture as always. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Read him in The Athletic. He's fantastic.
Can you imagine? Is there a chance somebody in that building said the answer is Mike Vrabel?
Oh, I'm sure we'll wonder about that coming up.